Is that what you're telling me?
One and the same.
Exactly that
The
one.
kind of bat that Ozzy Osbourne made out with on stage. That kind of bat. That's what you're telling me.
That's how they got that bat, is because Manu Ginobili caught it. They were like, you need to be punished.
You're telling me that a bat in Gotham City accidentally set off a police officer's gun that shot two rich people, and that inspired Batman? That kind of bat.
Mm-hmm.
That's him. Or her.
He gets around. And the only one that could catch it was Spurs legend Manu Ginobili.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0!
All right, welcome back to another episode of Full Court Mess. It is February 2nd, 2022. I'm Jared, and Will is right here. Will,
how you doing?
And this week we have our first guest of the season, replacing Joe. Joe has been banned as he is on paternity leave, and he will be unbanned whenever he tells us the name of his newborn daughter. So we have Ian Abramson.
Yeah.
How do we introduce Ian? Comedian, streamer, writer, consultant, dog haver, wife haver.
Hypothetical Christian.
Massive NBA fan.
Massive NBA fan, yep.
Massive.
Did you happen to catch?
I am 20 feet tall. No, I think the last time that I saw basketball was actually pretty cool. They a guy kind of did like a flip over another guy to make a slam dunk. This really happened.
Damn, okay.
When was this? I was there. I was on the side of the Nationals or something.
Mm.
Do you know what they play in?
The Nationals.
I don't have the slightest.
Oh man, they're playing against this Harlem team.
Oh god.
Oh. Did you get some sort of ball on a string trick?
Oh yeah, actually there were a lot of. I didn't realize how theatrical a game basketball was, but that was, you know. So I have seen that. That is a full game. I was 12, 13 years old, and
did you have money riding on this game?
No, I did not. There's a chance that I was snuck into this game. So not only did I not have money on the game, I didn't have money to get in the game.
Okay.
Best enjoyed covertly.
That's right, folks. The Harlem Globetrotters. Have you guys had them on yet?
Not yet. They might be maybe next week.
Do you guys remember when the Harlem Globetrotters used to show up on Scooby-Doo?
I do remember that.
That ruled!
I got to watch them live one time as a kid, and I brought it up this past weekend because I was talking with some friends, and it's like, man, you know what really whipped ass was the Globetrotters games. And he said, oh, did you really think that? I was like, oh, I guess maybe not. I watched them as a kid, and he said, yeah, I did too. It sucked.
Wow.
I was taken aback. I was like, I apologize. I was very entertained by the hijinks.
Wild Beast.
That's so fucked up.
Before we go any further, I did not catch your name.
I'm sorry, Will.
Will, thank you.
How you doing?
All good. It just on my screen, it says Wild Beast, and I realized the time for me to appropriately ask passed, but I wanted to know. Will. No,
very understandable. I forgot that I didn't even have my actual name listed on here.
If it went any further than that, I would have had to be like, hey, let's do driver's license checks. Ooh.
Let, Let's look, an NBA themed game. We all put our first and last name on the back of our jersey. What is it?
Our social, so Jared, is the number on the back.
Yeah.
Like Jared Barrett, Bo Barrett, Fee Fi, Fo Ferret, and Jared, now do him.
So some people will call LeBron James just LeBron. If they were to do that with you.
I don't know if I'm.
You broke him already.
Did we lose him?
We did.
We lost him, folks.
We lost him. Now it's a good time to prep our questions.
Too much basketball discussed on the podcast already.
Globetrotters, you know, they're kind of crazy.
I think I like to think of us as the Washington Generals of podcasts. Mm-hmm. And we just go out there and put in a workmanlike effort every night. Consistent.
Yeah. He's back.
And now he's back.
He's back.
Outer space. The greatest line that gets overlooked in the history of music, and I can't believe I didn't write
it. Ian.
Come on, folks. What do you want? What?
Did you know the Globetrotters went to North Korea?
Are you serious?
Yeah, like a few years ago. With Dennis Rodman. this is real.
The world is too weird. It's sort of like society already ended, and now we're just getting fan fiction about everything that happened. That's why they keep rebooting Batman. It's like, ooh, I'm going to do a fan fiction of... Remember how Batman used to be a thing when society was real? It's like, ooh, remember when Obama was president? Well, now the president is his vice president. Reality is over, folks. We're done.
That's true.
You know, Jared, that actually really perfectly leads us into a segment.
They went to North Korea with Dennis Rodman. And, like, it was all documented. It was, like, a Vice documentary. And they, like, performed in front of, Kim Jong-un. That was his name, right? And it was, like, a whole thing.
It's likely they are the greatest diplomatic tool we have as a country.
I think so.
I mean, they honestly, like, if they're in North Korea, they legitimately would be categorized as a diplomat. Like, that, legitimately, they are doing diplomacy if they are entertaining. If it's like North Korea is like, this is like the Globetrotters are kind of so sanitized of like, all they are fun basketball tricks. There's nothing political except the color of their shorts. You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of the American version of what I always imagine North Korean entertainment is. Like, we're the best! And, like, Globetrotters are kind of like, we basically do magic tricks with a ball!
Do you think they had the guts to pull off the one where they pretend like they're going to throw water all over Kim Jong-un?
If they didn't, they're cowards. I would gladfully have that be the reason I'm murdered. I would go down in history books for pretending for my object work as an improv basketball. Come on!
What worth is your bit if you're not willing to die for it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, why do it in the first place? Why did the chicken cross the road? It's the fact that he could have died crossing the road that makes that joke such an instant classic that I laugh at every time I've heard it.
I mean, ball is life.
This is, I feel like, underreported here, but did the Washington Generals go with them?
Generals. What did I say? The Nationals?
I think you said the Nationals.
Man, Generals is such a funnier choice for the team that the Globetrotters always play.
We sent our North Korea literally got to watch like a demonstration of our hilariously inept Generals getting destroyed by a basketball team. I feel like there's like a lot of like they would have enjoyed a lot about it.
I don't know if they went. I haven't seen the documentary in a while, but I believe they played like it was some like North Korean guys. They were like, we got guys that play basketball.
Now I feel like that's the danger zone. Now you're showboating and you're in trouble.
Yeah. This does bring us.
Do you guys know that Simpsons joke about the generals?
Oh, wait, is that a Homer betting on him over and over?
Yeah, in my head it's Krusty, but I didn't grow up with the Simpsons in the way that some people did. But yeah, somebody's like, you bet on the generals against the Globetrotters. And he's like, they were due. So funny.
Let's get into some true or false while we're on such an odd idea of
love it. And then we can go into me trying to explain basketball and you guys correcting me along the way.
We're not correcting you at all.
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
Your word is law.
I'm assuming whatever you've got is correct.
Cool.
Yeah. Let's see. Start it off. Will and I put a list together of some true or false. Some more detailed than others. Doesn't mean anything.
Understood.
Start with some Wizards facts. Wizards player Isaac Bonga accidentally kicks teammate Rui Hachimura in the ball so hard that Rui Hachimura requires surgery, missing 18 games. Yeah.
Yes!
It happened.
Man, I was like, you can just tell when a getting kicked in the balls story is true. You can just tell. Yeah. You just can tell. If you want to know if somebody's lying, have them tell you a story about getting kicked in the balls that they make up. Right. And you will see their tells for a lie. It is a perfect system. Hire me the next time you need to figure out if somebody's lying. This is the easiest way.
We really don't need any other tool.
Did you just call me a tool? No, I come onto your podcast. You don't need any other tool than this tool. No. This blowhard. This man who admittedly doesn't know or care about the sacred art of basketball.
Hey, that's a requirement for being here.
Yeah.
Wow.
We filter out people who watch games too often.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, next true or false question. Let's go.
All right.
You want this one?
Yeah. ESPN shows LeBron James's dick on live TV.
True. Final answer.
It is true.
Woo! Two, four, two. That's true.
They went
if this
for
was an MTV show. That's what just would have played as a transition to the next question.
They went for a overhead view of the huddle, the timeout huddle.
Yeah,
at the exact same time that LeBron was adjusting his waistband. And
oh my!
So yeah. We got the national TV audience got to see the package, and
you saw why they call him in France the Bron.
one of the thank God for the really quick news cycle that the TV station could ever have, because it was weirdly not a big deal at all.
Yeah, like
this just kind of was pushed under the rug really fast
on Twitter. Like no one talked about it. Like a couple of people were like, dang, I just saw LeBron James's dick, and then like no one said anything after that. Like it was like odd. Like you'd think it'd be a bigger deal.
Yeah. But
I remember when it happened to Carrot Top. A couple months ago happened to Carrot Top. I looked it up, I won't lie. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I heard that I could get a look at the prop man's prop, and I said, give me the Beat Boys, feed my soul. I wanna get lost in the carrot's hole.
This fundamentally raises the question of who has a better hog between Carrot Top and LeBron James.
Yeah. Well, better is subjective, but excluding that, I think the answer is obvious.
I think we're all on the same page.
They're equal.
I remember the morning, like a couple years ago, I woke up and Steph Curry was trending, and I was like, oh, what did he do? I didn't watch the game last night, and it was his nudes leaked. And I was like, that's not what I wanted to wake up to.
It has to be so huge. I can't imagine that happening. That's so messed up.
It's better when it's something like Draymond, and it's more like under your control, and you accidentally Snapchat your dick onto your story. Then it can be like, hey, I can enjoy at least the human error part of this, instead of it happening to someone against their will.
What made that better too is Draymond Green did it from the Olympics.
I got bonus. It won't be a true or false because I think it'd be a little obvious it came off the cuff. But Draymond Green's perhaps most famous moment in Twitter history, posing with the Israeli army as a sniper, and raving about the day he got to spend with them, learning all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Then on the other.
So, as someone who is completely ambivalent to sports, I still encounter headlines. But what that means is the juiciest sports headlines do get in front of me. Therefore, I know for a fact.
True, Your Honor.
That's true.
100%. And it leads to what should have been the most interesting rivalry in the NBA. Draymond Green and Dwight Howard tweeting Free Palestine and then deleting it and taking it down in like 3 hours because he said he didn't know what it meant.
Where's that 30 for 30?
Yeah.
Man. That is wild. I do wish that both of them would go on NPR for an hour and be like, yeah. Here's what happened. Maybe I didn't know enough and maybe I don't want to take a stance, but like, something's happening. Something is like happening.
It was a couple years ago when the Rockets general manager tweeted Free Hong Kong. And now, like, Rockets games are banned in China.
Man.
I think.
And, like, the league was, like, mad at him, too.
Yeah, no, he was in serious trouble because it ruined their, like, entire TV rights deal that they had. I think they stopped broadcasting all NBA games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we have more true or false?
Oh, yeah, we do.
We have a few, yeah.
Great, hit me.
Center DeMarcus Cousins gets ejected for unsportsmanlike conduct, sits with opposing team full of ex-teammates before leaving the arena, leading to additional fines.
Can you repeat it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Player DeMarcus Cousins gets ejected for unsportsmanlike conduct, sits with the opposing team, who are full of his ex-teammates, before leaving the arena, leading to additional fines.
True.
That's false. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
There we go.
You got him.
Starting to where he was some sort of basketball savant.
Yeah.
Turns out betting true, going true every single time pays off till a point.
Yeah.
All right. Now that we've got him, we'll see how he does with this one.
Right.
Shooting guard Dion Waiters eats too many edibles on team flight, leading to a panic attack that required medical attention upon landing. He refused to say who supplied the edibles and was then cut from the team.
That sounds true. That sounds like the kind of fucked up thing that happens all the time. Am I allowed to curse? I'm sorry.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah, okay, absolutely. Great. It's a requirement.
And yes, It is absurdly true.
It's a requirement. What are you, my friend in fifth grade? I have to say the word ass to prove that I cuss now.
Yes.
Yeah, I wish I remembered that kid's name. He was cool. That kid was so cool.
You cannot be our friend unless you are cursing out the bus window at random passerbys.
Yeah, when'd you learn your first curse word?
It was my first word actually was dap, which at first we thought was going to be for dad, but it was actually me abbreviating damn. What about you guys?
I was in kindergarten, and we had our school bus was kindergarten through fifth grade, which is a chaotic range of ages to group together. I was sitting there one day, and a fifth grader got on as we were going home, and he sat down in the empty seat next to me, and he said, "Hey, I'll teach you a couple curse words if you promise to never use them." And I was all in on it. So he goes, "All right, ass and damn." So the next kid that walked on the bus, I stood up and yelled, "You're an ass damn," at him. Got no reaction because nobody knew what the fuck I was talking about. But ever since then, the whole world was open to me.
It turns out that you've broken that promise as well.
yeah, immediately. Like I would say anything just to get those cuss words out of him.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest, I don't remember the first time I learned, but it's probably like
I wanna
say it was like second grade. Second grade. And I think it was ass. But I don't remember the context at all.
The first time I got in big trouble for this, I was a valedictorian at my high school graduation. And I went up there and I had been the perfect little student. And I went up there to give my speech. And I got in so much trouble. I went up there and I just said, "Crap." And dude, busted. They knew it was me. I don't know how that happened to me. What else do we got? Oh, go for it. Sorry, dude.
Oh, no. I just remember, like, I grew up in such, like, a religious household. I remember the first time I said, "Oh my god," I got in trouble in like first grade because like I did a cool trick in the video game I was playing. I was like, "Oh my god." And I remember my dad was like, "What did you just say?" And I was like, nothing. I didn't say anything.
Same. I was at the dinner table one time and I said, "Oh my gosh." And my sister goes, "Did you just say gosh or God?" And it was just really.
That is such a kid way to do that. Did you just say gosh or did you say God?
And I was like, I said gosh, I swear. And it was a really heated conversation from there on out.
Dude, siblings become lawyers. And it's like they're constantly being like, "I would like to call my brother to the stand." And then it's like, "This dude, did you say gosh or did you say God? Be honest with me. I said gosh.
You would have sworn she was like a dialectics expert breaking it down. Like, if you had used the SH sound, your next word would have started much softer. But due to the hard D cutoff, we know that you said.
So they're like, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Your sister's like exasperated, wiping sweat after like 15 minutes of explaining how you may have said God. And even if you said gosh, it is not acceptable. It's still too close.
Exactly.
And she goes, "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury," wipes the sweat, and it's just your mom washing dishes, kind of half paying attention. She's just like, "Yeah,
It sets up a situation too where the jury is the judge.
Ooh, love that.
We neither want to be involved.
A real judge dread situation.
But when that happens too, the parents are like, "I have to do something." You're bold.
You know what? See, no, what's really fucked up is I think actually at the time my dad was sitting there and he did care. He was like, whoa, did you? No, I'm telling you, man, I was fighting for my life.
That's scary.
I still think I said,
oh my God, I was like, oh no.
All right, here you go. I got a really lame one for you. Due to the, did we lose?
We lost Ian for a moment. Okay.
It's okay. In the meantime, here, I'll give the...
checking my list. Yeah.
I'll give the listeners a super lame story. So because of this upbringing, I had I was 20-something years old, and I had, 20 years old, and I had never said, God damn it, in my life. And just, you know, it sort of thing gets ingrained to you. What really finally broke the seal for me, because I mean there's some times where it feels right just phonetically, what really broke the seal for me was I got dumped in a relationship, and that's what sparked the courage to finally say God damn it for the first time at like the age of like 20-21 years old, which is about the I think the lamest thing that anyone could ever admit.
I'll be honest with you, I did not expect that the story that I froze on would end there. Did not expect to come back in the middle of a Nicholas Sparks novel. No hate. I love The Notebook.
That's why we relate so well to the haunted house sketch on I Think You Should Leave on this show.
Yeah.
That's a great sketch. Great sketch.
Sketch is like it's like every middle schooler's wet dream, but they don't know that it should be bad.
I'm gonna say, Jared, I'm not comfortable speculating on a middle schooler's wet dream.
Okay. That's fair.
I'm not. This is live, so I can't ask you to edit that out, so I have to state it very plainly now.
Right.
It would be irresponsible of me not to say I do not want to think about a middle schooler's wet dream.
Just me. We'll start talking about it then.
Nothing to move on to the next true or false.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, speaking of every middle schooler's wet dream, the next one is Victor Oladipo, shooting guard for the Pacers at the time, turns the ball over out of bounds in front of Rihanna, turns around, asks for her phone number during the dead ball situation, is denied, and then benched by the coach for doing such a thing during a game.
True.
False.
Damn!
Just because I don't think anyone's had the guts yet.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'm gonna go for it. All right, here's one for you. NBA player J.R. Smith suspended from the Cleveland Cavaliers for throwing a bowl of hot chicken tortilla soup at assistant coach Damon Jones. The two did not speak to each other for 3 months after the incident.
That has to be true.
Yeah,
it is 100% true.
Wow. That's what I'm saying. You know when they're true. That's why I guess true every time. It's been wrong sometimes. You always know.
The best part about when that happened was no one was like, oh man, like is the coach okay? You get thrown hot, so that's dangerous. Everyone was like, what kind of soup was it?
That's so funny.
No one asked why, everyone just asked what.
I think prior to this, none of us had really conceived the idea that players were having soup in the locker rooms. I think that's one of those worlds that was closed off to us before this incident that was wide open afterwards. Was you're telling me they have soup in there?
I wouldn't have guessed.
I never thought about it. Now I have a great time thinking about it.
Okay, here's a short one. Charles Barkley once throws man out of a bar window.
Yes.
But probably the easiest one.
I am going with my gut, dude. Most of what I know about basketball are the handful of sports documentaries I've seen, but that does include The Last Dance, which I watched like twice. I watched it all like twice because it's just so well done. But that's the coolest part of being somebody that's not really a sports fan. I get to enjoy the top tier stories as if they're brand new every time.
Right.
Yeah.
When I watched You Don't Know Bo, I had never heard of Bo Jackson. I had never heard of that athlete. And then he played football and baseball at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just crazy.
Yeah, no, that's a great point.
That sounds fictional.
We really haven't had anything like on that level since then.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. It's kind of like, imagine if today you had never heard of Remember the Titans and you threw it on and you're like, oh, that's pretty good. And I was like,
yeah,
that is a 100% true story. That was a documentary. And I'm like, okay, what?
I was, you get the, that feeling stays like at 100%, whether it's the really cool stuff or like the really bad stuff. I had the unfortunate experience of explaining Oscar Pistorius to someone for the first time a couple weeks ago, and that was rough for them to experience.
That's incredible.
Just the pure switch of they're like, oh, this is, I tried to make it clear in advance that no matter what it sounded like, this was not going to end as an inspirational story. And it's still just absolutely brutal.
Wow. That's wild.
I don't. Yeah.
That Hit me like with another true false. Season. Oh, sorry.
No, we got you.
Spurs guard Manu Ginobili slaps a bat out of the air, grabs it, and hands it to security during a game stoppage because the bat was flying around the arena.
I am going to guess true because that would mean I get to look up that video after this. And
it is, and you do.
Oh, yes.
Everyone on the court is scared except for Manu Ginobili, who simply smacks the bat clean out of the air, walks over, and picks it up.
You're saying, like, the creature, the bat?
Yes. The Spurs arena in San Antonio,
like, the thing that hangs off of Dracula's dingle dongle, like that kind of bat.
Yeah,
that is one of like the bat that like pretends like it's sniffing its armpits, like the girl from the movie Superstar. You know, like that kind of bat. Is that what you're telling me?
One and the same.
Exactly that.
The kind of bat that Ozzy Osbourne made out with on stage. That kind of bat. That's what you're telling me.
That's how they got that bad, because Manu Ginobili caught it. They were like, you need to be punished.
You're telling me that a bat in Gotham City accidentally set off a police officer's gun that shot two rich people, and that inspired Batman? That kind of bat?
Mm-hmm.
That's him. Or her.
He gets around. And the only one that could catch it was Spurs legend Manu Ginobili.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great. And it's even better.
That arena is like infamous for bat problems.
Yeah, the arena just has a bat problem. And they just, you're like, okay, yeah, I mean, sure. But who
where is it?
San Antonio.
San Antonio. The mascot.
Is it the bat problem like that difficult to fight off? Like, you think it'd be like, let's just dedicate a little extra resources to really relocating these bats or something.
You would think so, but instead they like actually will have the mascot just walking around with a net to catch bats, because it happens so often.
What?
And he does catch them. Yeah, he like actually does like
okay, here's what we're doing, folks. You guys need to do whatever you can to interview that person. And the guy that catches bats, he exists. They exist. Who knows? I would love to hear what it's like for that to be part of your job. I would listen to the hell. That's way more interesting than me. The theme of me is I don't really know sports. The theme of this person would be, you know sports? Think of the scariest creature alive. A spider? No. This has wings. all I have to defend not just me, but all of us, is this net. A thing with so many holes in it. It's meant for something to breathe through it. That's all it's got going for it.
And, like, trying to do that in a bulky-ass costume.
During...
like a full furry fit.
Where, to, of course, you're also what? Not allowed to, like, disrupt the basketball game.
Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean a furry fit?
Like, they have the mascot catching these bats.
He's dressed up as a coyote.
Yeah. So they have a guy in a coyote costume running around with a net.
Wait.
Yes.
You guys were saying this coyote's name as if it was a player.
Oh, the player in this case, there was a player who smacked the bat out of the air.
But
now they have the mascot do it.
Yeah, now they have the mascot do it. Like, now, since then, the mascot will walk around with a net. And if you're watching...
I want that job. I don't know what else to tell you. I do not know what else to say. I want that job. I would do that job. If somebody breaks an ankle... I will not be training for this job, but I would knock it out of the park as a replacement.
We need to hook you up with this. We need to find a way.
Let's
to get you there.
I feel it's very underrated because I feel like the Raptors inflatable dinosaur always gets the most mascot press, but the coyote whose job it is to also catch bats deserves a bit more shine.
I feel like they give the mascots too many jobs lately, like catching bats. They had the Kings mascot a couple weeks ago cleaning up puke when some guy just spewed all over the court, and they put the mascot to work cleaning it. Like, that was strange.
The Raptors mascot just got in trouble for cheering during a game.
Yeah.
Wait, seriously?
They were having a game without fans because it was reasons. And there were some clutch free throws near the end of the game that a Suns player was taking, and the mascot was behind the basket going like, woo, by himself, no one else in the arena trying to distract him. And after the Suns player made the first free throw, he complained to the ref that the mascot was trying to distract him.
I mean...
seems like their job.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a tough call.
Fans there and he were doing that. It'd be not notable.
Wow, that's wild.
So he had to go stand in the corner for the...
Let me put it to you guys like this. It's sort of like if there's one person, it's like a fly that's zooming around your head, right? Okay? Mm-hmm. But if it's a million people, it's like there are thousands of mosquitoes and you're not worried about the sound because you know they can suck your blood like the little insect bats that they are. Why aren't the mascots catching mosquitoes? Mosquitoes are a much bigger issue than bats. They carry malaria. What name one disease that bats can pass on through blood? What, like, name one blood disease? Exactly. You can't.
Yeah, I can't. I can't.
You can't. You won't. This is why you asked me on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is it. All right.
Jared, you want to grab the next one?
Yeah. Knicks power forward Marcus Morris injured after 1-year-old son jumps on him to wake him up. Quotes, he's a very big man at a 1-year-old. He's a huge man. Every morning he comes in the room and jumps on me and that stuff. Just got a bad batch of it this morning. Morris was out for, I think, a few weeks.
True.
How big must that kid be?
Yeah, wow.
1 year old.
What's good is with the Morris brothers, we have an idea of what size person hitting them injures them and what doesn't. So boys. We know if they're getting bumped into by a, like, say, a 6-foot point guard, it's not important. But if 7-footer Nikola Jokic obliterates one of them, it'll keep them out for months. So I think we can safely assume that this baby was probably around 6'6".
Wow. What?
Let's
Will, who are you? What? Where did you acquire this skill? What?
Just added deductive reasoning.
I want to expand on the Morris twins really quick.
Jared, you go. If you have a baby that's 7 inches long and a dad that's 20 feet tall, what will the kid grow up to be?
It won't grow up. It's in the bottom of the ocean. It's the threat to humanity. And
understood.
Not care that.
Understood.
Mm-hmm.
Will, point to you.
I'm saying
you got the point.
Oh, appreciate it. I was ready to solve.
Well, I know.
Steal.
Jared, he almost just embarrassed you. I'm going to cut it off so that he doesn't have to. But he was, wow. You were about to slice his throat. This is live, Will.
That's why we sign a waiver before we start. It's the risks associated with this. At any time, you can get absolutely shown up via baby-related height theory.
Wow. This is why we can't have any NBA
players. I took that class in college, but clearly you got a lot more out of it than I did. Height-related baby theory? Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Good baby enough. Related height theory? I took both.
So I want your thoughts on this. There's these two twins about the same size. They have identical tattoos. Last we heard, they share a bank account. Last we heard, they share a house in LA. And at one point, they were on the same team. And for some reason, it did not work out.
Is this a true or a false?
No, this is just straight up true. I want to see.
Yeah, this is fascinating to me. How do I start encountering this kind of story in life? What do I Google? What alert? Is this what Sports Illustrated is? Be honest with me.
This is the reward for watching like shitty basketball games for way too much of your time is you get the stories about the twins who have matching tattoos and a shared bank account.
Yeah. In abnormally large children.
You guys just got me into basketball.
This is what it's about. One of them was on a team that made the playoffs. And then got hurt. And it's an injury that usually keeps you out for a few weeks. Somehow he was able to play the next game while his brother sat in the crowd. There's a theory that they switched them. Because the skill set at the time was like pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that's like a possible? Like, do you think a twins could switch like that and no one would actually like the league wouldn't notice?
So here's the thing. I think, could twins find a way to pull this out? Yeah, I'm a man that believes in Ocean's 11, okay? But I do not think that twins would do that. I do not think that twins, I don't, like, what an in, like, that implies that there's some scene where one of the twins is like, brother, the day that we got our matching tattoos, we agreed on two things. One, our bank accounts would always be joint. And two, if I ever was a little nervous for the professional basketball game that I have spent my entire life working towards, would you mind stepping in for me if I'm having kind of a tough day? Oh, you've also worked this hard and understand that this is not your game? So, to me, I go with the moon. To me, it's the moon landing logic, right? Occam's Razor! Man, that would be such a cool scooter, Occam's Razor. It always lands exactly in the easiest way. What? Occam's Razor! Come on, kids! What?
That'd be, like, the coolest. I want a scooter that makes me backflip, and I land it every time, and I don't hit my head.
That would be an amazing Disney Channel original movie. The scooter that always lands. The scooter that always lands! Occam's Razor!
I think this is an important chance to delve into some twin theory in sports. We clearly have an expert here. I'd love to get your take on this was a sports novel I read when I was a child. It's called The Great Quarterback Switch by Matt Christopher, author also of The Kid Who Only Hit Homers and other classics. 12-year-old twins, Michael and Tom Curtis, both love football. Tom plays for the Eagles, while Michael supports the team from his wheelchair on the sidelines. When Michael was 10, he was hit by a car and lost use of his legs. The boys wonder if they have ESP because their thoughts often seem to align. An elderly neighbor and former science teacher, Ollie Pruitt, has mentioned something called thought energy control, or TEC, which goes a step beyond ESP. They don't know that much about it. Essentially, they ask this guy for a breakdown, and they start using TEC to switch places during the football game so that the brother who's in the wheelchair can control and have the mind of the brother who is playing the football game, and he's better than him. So they need to for the team to win. He's way more confident than him. So this really is what I derive a lot of my current sports analysis from, is assuming that anyone who's getting suddenly more confident, who suddenly improves, do they have a Tom? Do they have a nearby brother in a wheelchair who's putting himself into their body via projection?
Always a great question. Always a great question. And I'm so glad that you ask it, Bill. That's never stop asking that question, okay? Never.
It opens up all sorts of possibilities in terms of, hey, I mean, LeBron James, terrible fourth quarter in the 2011 finals. You expect me to believe he just came back the next year and was good in the finals? Or there's a secret LeBron James twin somewhere in the city of Miami who they occasionally transport to Oklahoma City in 2012.
Have you guys heard of the Twins baseball team website thing?
No.
Where is the baseball team, the Twins, Minnesota?
Yeah.
The Twin Cities, maybe?
Twin Cities, yeah.
So they don't own twins.com. Because there's these two brothers, I guess, that bought it. If you're curious, honestly, this was not my discovery. The writing duo, Joe McAdam and Chris Stevens, I think they wrote an animated pilot about these two. They did as much research on the actual people that own twins.com and refuse to sell it for an incredible amount of money to the Twins team. And that's fascinating. Any questions you have, I couldn't answer beyond that. That's everything I know. All I do is play the trailer for my friend's projects, apparently.
That's like fascinating, though.
Yeah, we're here for the teaser.
That is. Yeah. Here's a question. Do you think if E.T. hooked up with, or connected with LeBron or Michael Jordan, would he be good? Would he be a baller? Could he dunk?
I'm far more interested in what I thought you were about to ask when you started that question.
Wow.
I heard that if E.T. hooked up with and started getting...
Yeah, I was like... And then you were like, hooked up with Michael Jordan or LeBron James. And I was like, this is definitely getting weirder than I thought. I was not expecting that image, those images.
Talking be like...
As much as I love Space Jam 2, that's just not the direction I was going to take Space Jam 3. And so I had to leave the project. I had to walk.
That's professional integrity.
That's one word for it. Sorry, two words.
Now, I've never seen E.T. Can he fly without the bicycle?
That is... If Comedy Central had a roast of the movie E.T., you should say that line exactly. That's what that sounded like. It sounded like you were out to hurt the movie E.T.'s feelings.
Coming with a lot of...
You came in like, hey,
E.T., so what's his deal? Can he fly without the bicycle or what?
That dude loves Reese's Pieces. Fucking doesn't love getting home on time. Everybody else knew to go back to the ship, E.T. That's why you were the extraterrestrial. Damn, get it together. You are too extra. The sequel would have been called Too Extra, Too Terrestrial. It's where Elliot and E.T. switch bodies so that Elliot is mentally in E.T.'s planet and E.T. is back to being a horny middle schooler. What is it with your guys' podcast and this motif?
This is like only today, too. Like
I... Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
The way that we suckered you into ending up at that topic was brutal. It was five-dimensional chess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a huge setup.
That's right.
We're here to cancel you.
Folks, we got it.
So, basketball is the sport you all love most. True or false?
I'd say that's
true. Yeah, true.
Actually, it's false. I'm so sorry. You have failed that section. Listen, guys, you're just not as good as I am. You have a 0% batting average. Okay. Now, next question.
Okay.
What is it about basketball as opposed to other sports that draws you in? What makes basketball your favorite? When watching basketball, what are you getting out of it that other sports just don't quite get there for you?
I think it speaks to the ADHD in me, that there's something constantly happening.
Right.
But the constant happenings are like, it all adds up. It's all important. And then like, that aside, I think basketball probably has the healthiest culture.
Interesting.
In comparison to like football.
Football, yeah.
Has its issues. Baseball has its issues right now.
Right. Huh, that's fascinating. Why can either of you speculate as to why that is?
Will, what do you got?
I think there's some truth to basketball being it's an accessible game, I think, compared to a lot of other major sports.
That's a good point.
If you got a court nearby, or you can dribble without a court, but you need a ball.
Right. They say that about basketball and soccer. Yeah.
And fun enough, the other thing I really love about the game is another trait it shares with soccer is similar to Jared's point about the ADHD is I really appreciate anything with a real flow to the game. I don't like stopping and starting. I like constant motion. That's what you get for most of a basketball game until you get to the last 2 minutes.
That is such an excellent answer. That is so exactly what I was looking for with my question. Jared, you did good. Not trying to hate on you, you know, okay, but Will came in
lesser grade.
Let me say it so that you guys are younger than me. Let me say it so you'll understand. Will understood the assignment. Okay. And I need you to realize that that's what just happened.
All right. Culturally, I don't know what it is that makes it like culturally more healthy, but that's led to it being culturally more healthy. I think it's just,
it's opposed to the other sports. It's a people focused game over a team focused game. It's more of it's the most of the major sports where you get connected to the individual. It's more focused on individual stars than necessarily the team, which I guess you could spin that to be like positive and negative things, but it's like football, baseball, hockey, even people's faces are obscured in those.
So I know that as a fact, but I don't understand why that is. Why is basketball, whatever team LeBron James is on, it's his team right now, right? Yeah. And I'm sure, and of course we know that that's not completely ever true, but that's kind of what you're saying is like, it's a stars game right now. And why is that?
Part of it's the accessibility we have to the athletes. Like say you're no one's hidden from view. It's very up close. But I think another major part of it is also of the four major American sports. It's the number one sport in terms of the impact that one individual can have
on the game
itself. LeBron James can carry a team to the NBA finals.
Basketball, football, baseball. What's the fourth?
Hockey. as much as it doesn't feel that way sometimes.
Because, like, yeah, like a guy like in basketball, you at least like in this era, in the more recent era, is like you have to be good on both ends to carry your team. Like LeBron can do both sides, and you don't really, you know, in football, like Tom Brady's not playing defense. You know, like it's just not a thing. Like you have the
that's interesting. Star can really do everything in basketball.
Yeah.
Whereas in other sports, you are specialized in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. And then think about that, you know, we've been ushered into this new era by guys like Steph Curry, who, you know, like when we watch LeBron play, when we watched Michael Jordan play, they did, like, you know, incredible things. LeBron does inhuman, crazy strength, most powerful dunks, guys like Shaq dunking all the time. But now we've entered this era where, like, there's way more focus on good shooting instead of inside scoring, and that is a more relatable kind of play, I think, to most people. Because some people out there can dunk, but that's not something, like, if I just wanted to go learn to dunk, that's not happening, you know, or it would take a very long time of earning that athletic ability.
To actually dunk is that's like,
yeah, it's like
a high schooler that you hope gets into the NBA might not be able to dunk.
Yeah. Like it's like, that's a blessing, but you know,
being, when do you think Michael Jordan started dunking?
Oh, probably early high school or junior high, I bet.
Seriously? Well,
we are to believe the legend that he got cut from his JV team in ninth grade. Cut from the varsity team in ninth grade. I bet if he could have dunked in ninth grade, he would have made the varsity team.
That's fair. Yeah. But, I think, like, now we have stars like Steph who, they're so marketable and they're so relatable because, like, you know, any seventh grader can just go shoot a three, you know, and that's not to say they do it like Steph or any basketball player.
No, for sure, but it changes. Now, you're saying that is Steph Curry's approach to as an athlete that was a big part of that influence coming into the game?
I don't know, but I think it's just like
a sign of changing times.
Yeah, I think it's just been a sign of change, and that's how, like, it's changed the fan impact and the way,
fascinating,
you know, are more stars like Steph, and we have young, you know, emerging stars like Trae Young who they shoot and they make plays and they do it really well, but more kids can be like, I want to learn to shoot like Steph, because that's a more realistic thing than, you know, a kid being like, I want to learn to dunk like LeBron or dunk like Shaq.
Right. That's going to not really do anything. And then also if you're practicing dunks, you're not practicing playing basketball. You know what I mean? You're practicing cannonballs. You're not diving.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause there's plenty of guys in the league who can dunk real good, and then they last like 2 years because they can't do shit else.
Wow. This has genuinely been a very fascinating conversation about, what is it called again? Basketball?
Basketball.
Two words. Basketball. Two words.
Okay. Make sure to put a space in there. Yeah. Or hyphen?
Naismith hyphened it. The common convention is to put a space in, but if you're a purist, you
that's why it's called Space Jam.
Yes.
Yes. Understood. Exactly. Yep.
Incredible. Jared, do we want to get some rock solid lock of the week predictions for the rest of the season here?
Yeah. Ian, we're just going to fire off if you think, you know, these things may or may not happen as we get to in this episode. We're approaching an hour. I don't want to keep you busy for too long. Let's see. Lately the Lakers been struggling. Would you say what's their future looking like based on
the Lakers?
The Lakers.
Oh, dude, we are about 3 years away from a return to form for the Lakers. The Lakers They are coming back. Phil Jackson is there in spirit, and the Kobe's death has rallied the city of Los Angeles around this legendary team. Shaq is going to come back as a coach, okay? And here's the thing. Boy. Shaq is going to say two words: no rules. And he's going to let them train however they want. It's kind of an independent study approach to basketball. And Shaq is going to take this ramshackle team of professional basketball players, ramshackle, and you're going to, he's going to whip them in shape by doing nothing at all. And it's going to end with all of the basketball players figuring out how to hold on to each other's bodies so that they're like a megazord made of human meat. And they dunk in that way. That's what I think is going to happen with the Lakers in the next few years.
That's it. 3 years. Book it, folks.
3 years. You know, players holding on to each other like that, that's actually a play call that a coach once made. The great Stan Van Gundy once told his team mid-game, form a fucking wall.
Seriously?
I hear they're bringing it back. Yeah, he did. He did say that.
Whoa. What's his deal?
You know, I'm not sure.
He'd been watching a shit ton of anime recently, and he just
got but I mean, who was this guy? What? That's wild.
Now, this is one of the two famed Van Gundy brothers, Stan Van Gundy and Jeff Van Gundy. And Stan was then the coach of, what is that, the Detroit Pistons, Jared?
I think it was.
When he did that?
Yeah.
I believe that was, running the Pistons, and the other team had only 0.2 seconds left to try to win the game. So the only thing they could have theoretically done is throw an alley-oop, because the rules of basketball are that you cannot catch and shoot the ball in fewer than 0.3 seconds. So his response was to form a fucking wall so that no sort of alley-oop could be accomplished. That's and it worked.
Wild. Meanwhile, the other brother was coaching, probably not at the same time, but around then, was coaching the New York Knicks and just quit one day. He said, I'm fucking tired of you guys. They're having issues. And he just one day, randomly, early in the season, was like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. And I respect his decision. Except for the fact that we have to hear him on ESPN all the time, and all he does is complain. Time for another prediction.
Yeah, who do you like for sixth man of the year this season?
Sixth man of the year, you know? I would have to go with Julia Roberts playing herself in Ocean's 12.
Okay, that's fair.
That's a perfect understanding of the sixth man role. I mean, that's spot on.
It is, actually, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Does anyone else have a problem with Ocean's 12? The part where this is my only issue in the entire trilogy. The part where they get rescued from the prison, and everything up till every other moment there is like a kind of a masterfully planned moment, and then it's just like, oh, thank God, Matt Damon's mom is here.
Well, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to apologize.
Okay.
I'm going to say, well, you are Ocean's, talking to like the Ocean's 12. Like,
is my favorite movie of all time.
Wow. You have it above 11.
Favorite? Yeah, absolutely. Every day of the week. And you clearly aren't watching close enough, because I'll tell you exactly what happens in Ocean's 12 when Matt Damon's mom breaks them out.
Mm-hmm.
You've got an incredible fake out. And yes, it is quite convoluted, but it is so satisfying if you can appreciate it like the fine wine that it is. The gang has fully failed. They are in jail except for three of them. They fly in Tess, who they've alluded looks like, oh, don't talk about it. She hates it. Do not mention it. And so we don't know who she's supposed to have looked like. She has to try to steal this egg so that they can win the contest of the movie, except that they get caught. She pretends to be Julia Roberts is the joke of that part. So now all 12 of them are in jail. And someone from the American embassy just shows up with like five vans and says to the woman, Brad Pitt's, Catherine Zeta-Jones love interest, she says like, hey, you actually didn't get approval on these papers, so your boss wants to talk to you. Basically, like, she tried to go around his head and do that, right? This is, I know how convoluted this is, but this is my favorite movie, okay? So he, it's amazing because the way that they play this is the woman goes in and is talking to Matt Damon and is basically like, I'm already forgetting your name. That's one of the things she says to him. And he is like, fine, okay, I'll rat on them. I'll rat on all of them if you just take us to America. And then they cut to all of them in the car, and you realize that's his mom. Great reveal, dude. What are you talking about? What do you mean the mom just showed up? That was the plan the whole time.
That's the part I feel like I never got. What was that, their plan, or did she just rescue them?
No, that was their plan.
Okay, because I always felt like Matt Damon was like, did y'all have to get involved?
Yeah, because they're always messing with Matt Damon. They're, okay. The whole movie, they're messing with Matt Damon. The joke of the movie is that Matt Damon wants to be higher up, and they're like, he's still just a kid.
All right, here's
how well they set it up. You watch that movie again. Earlier in the movie, Danny and Rusty, George Clooney and Brad Pitt, are talking, and they're like, great. And then at that point, we all get arrested, right? And it's like supposed to be like a, and that's when everything goes wrong, huh? But now we know they do get arrested. On a second viewing, he's saying, even at this point, we know that that's what's going to happen. Therefore, it's been more than 30 seconds, but I await your apology.
No, I apologize. That solves the one issue I had with the entire Oceans trilogy.
Wow.
I do. And I would just say I love, as a mea culpa, the scene slightly later in the movie where yes, they fake the Red Sox-Yankees fight on the train to steal the bag.
Ooh, yeah.
It's an absolute all-timer. That's artistry. A poor crew would have just grabbed the bag. An incredible crew stages that fight.
Man, yeah, well done. All right, you're back, Will.
He's back. This is now an Oceans podcast.
I love it. I'll be back every week.
My sister's into the Night Fox.
Joe comes back and he's,
are you
like,
serious?
Oh yeah.
Dude, I'm into the Night Fox. I love the Night Fox. I'm obsessed with Oceans 12. We'll get into it next time. I have to get going, but it's been so great to play with you guys. I'm so glad that our mom set up this. And
little play date, it was good.
We'll talk soon.
Appreciate it.
So, okay. No plug. That's a true Ian departure.
Yep.
Well, Will, do you want? Is there anything else we should discuss?
I think the most important thing we have left is just our final message for our devoted fan base, including our new youngest fan.
Yes. And really quick, let me plug Ian real quick.
Yeah.
Cause Ian is great. We love Ian. He's a dear friend. I believe his Twitter account is simply, yes, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Abramson. And he's on Twitch at Ian Abramson. And if you ever want to see anything else that he's in, just look up him on IMDb. You may have seen him on TV. You may have seen him on advertisements. He's a true Renaissance man. And an Oceans lover. Mm-hmm. Go watch Oceans 12, 11, any of them. Watch them all. But especially 12, because it's Ian's favorite. Yeah, like Will said. Shout out to everyone who listens. And especially shout out to our dear Joe and Mallory. Would Mallory be like pod wife?
Pod wife, yeah. Wife of the pod.
Yeah. And congratulations to them on the newest and their first pod daughter.
And when you hear this new daughter, when you hear this, just know that just like the rest of our fans, but you especially, just know that we here at Full Court Mess, we love you.
Thank you very much.